All right. Welcome to the October 8th, 2025 meeting of the Redmond Planning Commission. I'd like to call this meeting to order. We will start with a roll call. Commissioner Aparna?
Present.
Commissioner Copley?
Present.
Vice Chair Woodyer?
Present.
And I am Chair Weston. Commissioner Coleman, Commissioner Gagne, and Commissioner Van Nyman are excused tonight. Because we have a public hearing scheduled tonight, before I get to staff introductions, I'd like to just ensure that our hearing can be continued on October 22nd in case we lose quorum during the meeting. So I'd like to entertain a motion to automatically continue the public hearing for the Capital Facilities Plan 2050 General Government to the October 22nd Planning Commission meeting unless the hearing is concluded tonight.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Great.
Aye.
Thank you, Janine. So that's excellent. So we have what we need and we can carry on. I'd like to thank the following staff for being present tonight. Jeff Churchill, Glenn Coyle, Audrey Cardenas, Lorraine Hamilton, Quinn Kuhnhausen, Chris Wyatt. And next, I look for a motion to approve the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Thank you. That's approved. And I look for a motion to approve the meeting summary from September 24th, 2025.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. That's approved. All right, so business aside, now it's time for us to hear the public comments and items for the audience. This is for topics that aren't addressed by our public hearing on the Capital Facilities Plan later tonight. I'd like to remind that RCW 4217A555 prohibits any public comment in support of or opposition to ballot propositions, measures, or candidates. Who do we have tonight?
Good evening. We have one committee member signed up to speak, David Morton.
Great. And if you could please keep your comments to 3 minutes and start with your name and address.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm David Morton, Redmond 98053. I'm providing feedback on the draft 2025 Environmental Sustainability Action Plan refresh. I appreciate the city's commitment to ambitious sustainability goals, but the plan's feasibility is concerning given resource constraints and competing priorities. The plan proposes expanding initiatives across multiple domains, increasing tree canopy to 40%, transitioning the municipal fleet to electric vehicles, retrofitting buildings for energy efficiency, and more. But it lacks clear discussion of implementation capacity. Who will manage these initiatives? The plan mentions hiring staff, but doesn't specify positions, timelines, or whether funding is secured. Without dedicated personnel, these initiatives might stall or fall to already overburdened existing staff. The financial analysis is similarly unclear. While some actions note potential funding sources, there's no comprehensive budget showing total costs versus available resources. This is especially concerning given the Capital Facilities Plan, or CFP 2050's projection of nearly $1 billion in infrastructure spending. How will sustainability initiatives compete for funding against fire stations, police facilities, and operations centers? The plan should acknowledge these trade-offs. Here are some recommendations. First, prioritize actions by feasibility and impact. Not everything can happen simultaneously. Which initiatives offer the greatest emissions reductions per dollar spent? Which are prerequisites for others? Second, provide realistic staffing and budget projections. If full implementation requires positions that aren't funded, state that explicitly. If certain actions depend on grant funding that's uncertain, acknowledge that risk. Third, establish clear metrics and reporting schedules. The plan mentions tracking progress but doesn't commit to regular public updates. Annual reporting to the council and community would ensure accountability. Fourth, strengthen connections to other city plans. The CFP will drive significant emissions from construction, materials, and facility operations. The sustainability plan should explicitly address how to influence those decisions. I support Redmond's sustainability ambitions, but results may be disappointing without implementation planning. Before adoption, this plan needs realistic resource assessment, clear prioritization, and honest acknowledgement of trade-offs. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments tonight?
That's it.
All right. Then with no further ado, we will move on to our public hearing on the general government portion of the Capital Facilities Plan 2050. Introducing Director Lorene Hamilton.
Good evening, Planning Commission. This evening we are bringing to you the Capital Facilities Plan for a public hearing. This plan needs to be adopted as part of the Redmond 2050, and it covers our general government facilities. It has been brought to this commission once before, and we'll discuss the issues matrix next. But we are here hoping to move this forward for recommendation to City Council.
Great. So we will start with the public hearing. So I will open the public hearing. And who is here to comment tonight?
We have one community member signed up to speak. It's David Morton.
Oh, I'd like to, little bit of protocol here. I'd like to add Commissioner Gagne to the list of commissioners here tonight. Thank you. I'm glad you can make it. All right, with no further ado.
Good evening again, commissioners. I'm David Morton, Redmond 98053. I'm providing feedback on the Capital Facilities Plan 2050 before your recommendation to council. This plan will guide nearly $1 billion in infrastructure investments over 25 years. I appreciate the comprehensive facility assessment and strategic approach. However, climate resilience integration needs strengthening. The plan currently lacks requirements for climate resilient building materials. While page 12 mentions considering low embodied carbon materials, there's nothing about requiring materials that withstand extreme weather conditions that we can already predict, such as intense heat, heavier precipitation, and more severe storms. The issues matrix shows Commissioner Aparna raised this concern, and staff proposes adding language to consider resilient materials in section 1.2. However, the word consider is insufficient. Without mandatory specifications for exterior materials like concrete, cladding, and roofing that meet climate projections, each project team will independently decide whether to prioritize resilience. This risks inconsistent protection, premature material failure, higher life cycle costs, and service disruptions when facilities can't withstand conditions they'll inevitably face. Additionally, the hazard summary on page 13 omits extreme heat events despite their documented increase and disproportionate impact on vulnerable populations. This gap should be corrected. The issues matrix also shows staff will incorporate key climate resilience policies, specifically FWCR2 and CR10, 11, and 12, which I strongly support. These policies require integrating climate risk assessments into facility planning, not treating climate considerations as optional. The Planning Commission's recommendation to Council should include requiring mandatory climate resilient material specifications, not suggestions to consider them, including extreme heat and hazard assessments, confirming that policies FWCR2 and CR10, 11, and 12 are explicitly incorporated, as staff indicated, and requiring climate vulnerability assessments for major capital projects. These facilities will serve Redmond for 50-plus years. Building to yesterday's climate conditions guarantees premature deterioration and higher costs. To achieve its sustainability goals, Redmond should require climate-resilient design. Please ensure that your recommendation establishes mandatory requirements, not voluntary considerations. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
That's it.
All right. In that case, I'm going to close the verbal portion of the public hearing, but we'll keep the written portion open. And at this point, we will move to walking through the issues matrix. We can close whatever issues are available to close at this time. Anything we need further discussion, we're going to figure out what we actually need in that process and what we need to resolve, if any additional information is needed, or if it's possibly something we would like to include in the recommendation for City Council, we can get draft language in tonight. And then if anyone has anything new that's popped since our last session, then we can add that. All right, so Director Hamilton or Glenn? All right, Glenn.
I will just kind of curate through the issues matrix, and if Director Hamilton wants to add anything, whatnot, she's here.
And if you could, your mic, you have a good voice, so it's hard to hear.
I'm here.
So yes. Just there. Wanted to know
the recording.
That, yep. You. Issues 1, 2. Sorry, technical difficulties. Issues 1, 2. 3 have already been closed at the previous meeting. The next 4, 5, 6, and 7 was Commissioner Gagne, and my understanding is you wanted all those closed. Okay, just
maybe we'll just step through since you're here. We can just go quickly through, and if you have any additional comments, starting with number 4.
Yeah, 4 is just around community feedback. So this kind of notes how this it's kind of the conclusion of the Redmond 2050 process, but yeah. This really relied on the 2050 process, which was a 5-year process, especially as it related to the capital facilities element.
Thank you. I appreciated the links, and I'm ready to close.
Related to that was just regarding community members' outreach for English as a second language. Again, it just notes some of the community process related to 2050. We had a pretty extensive process related to that. We participated in a lot of multicultural events. We had materials translated in multiple languages. The website, of course, has all those different tools, and Audra created a lot of great posters for different events and stuff like that. And again, you know, that was a broader Redmond 2050 process, but that all ties in capital facilities plan and also. So a lot of the feedback from that helped inform this plan. So.
Thank you. I'm ready to close that one as well. Yep.
Number 6 was just about accessibility. And it just really, did we just talk about how we can meet ADA standards, but really that's kind of more related to design processes, but it is considered in this plan.
Thank you, I'm ready to close that one as well.
And if you could make sure to add Commissioner Gagne's name at number 7, just for the final packet.
We'll get that fixed. And this just talks about kind of response times. It's kind of outside the scope as this is a buildings plan, but we did provide a link to the fire department where they really talk more extensively about response times and how that relates to the site and of their facilities.
Thank you. Ready to close that one also.
So we'll move into some of the other open issues. Number 8 was just related to hazards. Again, you know, that was more just the list there wasn't a full list of every single thing because there was other city documents. It was really just more in examples. But that being said, the staff recommends that, you know, we kind of expand the narrative to include that and suggest putting that in the Planning Commission recommendations.
I actually had a follow-up on this. When you say Planning Commission recommendation, it's not going into the plan, or is it going is it going into the plan? Because the way it's...
Ultimately, it's council's decision to accept or not accept Planning Commission's recommendations. That's so
this
we
is not
just want to get the verbiage correct.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the legal process that actually occurs here. And I know sometimes there's confusion on that. But.
Right. But I think we went through this with the fire plan as well, where some of this text is... not necessarily, like, I don't know how to put it, but I don't think it should, I think it should be in the plan as a modification in the current plan and not as a recommendation. So it's not the Planning Commission which is looking at it, I think. When we ignore extreme heat in this situation, the narrative changes. All the conversations on resilience changes. So the way I'm looking at it, I'm not comfortable with it being a recommendation where it may or may not be seen by council. I don't know how to address this right now. So, Chair?
Yeah, I think it's a really good process question, and it sounds like it's lucky that we have.
It's more of a process question. Here. So again, that's what your recommendation ultimately is. We compile all everything you're saying gets compiled when it goes into the report. So that's always been the process. So
well, I think that's actually the concern is that it hasn't always been the process. It's a new, it might have been the intended process, but in 2025 we're doing plans differently than we've done them at least since I joined commission. And so I think that Commissioner Aparna's point that we it feels like there might be a possibility that this would get missed by council.
And that's where I think there might be a misconstrued. All the previous recommendations that Planning Commission has made has always gone to council, and it's always been highlighted at council. It goes into the memos. It's all part of the legal kind of legislative documentation of these plans and documents.
Unfortunately, that wasn't the way the process worked for a few years. So it's I hear what you're saying completely. I think we're going to do that, continue as we mean to go on and do it this way where we're adding a recommendation. But I do think that it's more than there's a difference maybe between there's a possibility you could add things to the plan. So for example, when we're saying later, it would be more clear to cross-link parts of the documentation. That's one kind of feedback. And then being able to say, okay, this is really going to meaningfully change the difference or change the experience of people who use these facilities in Redmond for decades to come. I think there's a larger point there or a different intensity.
Yeah, I think two things come up. One, we had the exact same conversation with the fire functional plan. We made changes to the fire function plan itself, the document itself. It wasn't in the recommendations. Mm. The intent change or section changes could be as recommendations, which are deviating from what the plan is saying. That's always been the understanding. We've made changes to the text of the water supply plan, inside the plan itself. This commission has. So I'm trying to understand, for me, if you say that it will go as recommendation to the council, and I'm asking for something which is a deviation from the plan, then I would say, hey, yes, that's what I would like. But this is not a deviation from the plan. It's not telling the plan to do anything differently. It's saying that you've considered all these things, you missed out one. And for me, when we don't address it here, we are running the risk of having future projects dealing with it in a different way.
Commissioner, may I ask a clarifying question? Because I think I'm understanding what you're saying. So what I hear you saying is that what would close this matrix item for you is if we simply added heat as an additional consideration in extreme heat as a consideration of potential risk. And my question to Glenn, and I apologize, Glenn, for asking this on the record because there's no other way to ask it. My apologies. Is there a reason why we cannot shift that before we take this forward to council for adoption? Is there a reason why we can't shift that text?
I think it becomes a matter of documentation and council having the ability to kind of see what the full conversational context was. So for example, you bring up the water system plan. Ultimately, those changes that you had mentioned actually went to council and it was still for their consideration. They could have actually ultimately said, we reject those comments and changes for the water plan. So we actually did bring those specific items and called out Planning Commission noted this, they asked for these changes. And that's the same for like the park plan previously and actually the wastewater plan, except there really weren't any comments on that, if I recall.
May I ask a follow-up, Glenn? Sorry that we're asking these questions of each other in real time. Is there a way in which we can state this was added by recommendation of the Planning Commission so that council perhaps understands that this change was made with the recommendation of Planning Commission, and they can have that as a conversational piece, as opposed to saying, hey, council, this was a recommendation of Planning Commission. Are you okay with adding it? Can we do it the other way? Is there a reason why we can't do it that way? Jeff, I don't know.
Back to Jeff.
Sorry, boss, Jeff.
Just a little bit of clarity on why it feels like a change to commissioners.
Yeah.
So in past plans, such as water and the park plan, we were able to see red lines in the plan. So it wasn't accepted. It was very clear that it was an edit, but it made it feel a little bit more integrated.
Like you could make a red line to the process before it went forward as like a recommended change.
Exactly. And then when we've
and that's what's being
when we've
for.
Made recommendations in the past, council has been much more it's much more optional.
There's more flexibility to their ability to accept that recommendation or not.
Ultimately, absolutely have deciding power. So we're all clear on that.
Right. But what you're saying is if this is an important thing to the commission, you'd rather it be part of the document before it went forward.
Instead of a
suggestion almost.
Exactly.
So I'm going to hand it off to my friend Jeff, who's the planning king.
Thanks. That's a new title that I've received tonight.
Perhaps you can introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Jeff Churchill. My other title is Long Range Planning Manager. So as a legal matter, if the Planning Commission's recommendation shows up as a line in the issues matrix, or if it shows up as a line in the plan itself, it's the same thing. When the City Council gets the plan, after the Planning Commission's recommendation, it gets the Planning Commission's recommendation. That is the base document that it's getting. It either shows up as a red line document or it shows up as a document with changes identified in the issues matrix or in the memo. Legally, it's the same thing. If they review it and say, yeah, we agree with the Planning Commission's recommendation, all those changes are kind of automatically part of the document, whether they're redlined or whether they're in the memo or in an issues matrix. They really have to actively reject things that the Planning Commission did for them not to be part of the adopted plan, because what they get from you is your recommendation. And the way that it's formatted doesn't make any kind of legal difference. It's really a matter of, you know, with some plans, a consultant is writing it, maybe there's no more hours, so we only are scoped for them to make one more addition. And so making several additions is maybe cost prohibitive. You know, with Redmond 2050, we were doing it all ourselves, so that was never an issue.
So that's a very rational response to me. What I would love is if we're going to continue with the recommendation that's not a red line, which the same way we did for the fire plan, if we could just have an additional either verbal or written reminder to council that legally these are the same thing. It's just, it's more cost-conscious to create it as a separate document and not go and redline the initial document, because I think our experience in the past has been there actually has been a difference in how council reacts to redlines versus how they react to separate recommendations. So I think what I'm hearing here is a strongly felt opinion that we want council to take this very seriously. So as long as they're clear that it's legally the same thing. They might be under the same perception that I think a few of the commissioners were, possibly from their time on the commission. Yeah. So it would just be, I think that would make me feel better. Would that work for you?
So I think for me, this is quibbling about a word. This particular issue in the matrix is quibbling about a set of words. When we talk about the resilience policies, which is a substantial addition to the plan, I get that.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Aparna, could you use your microphone?
Sorry. So what I'm looking at is if there are words, and we put every word change that we want in a recommendation in the first memo, I don't know whether it will change. But these words matter. Mm. But when you have an intent or an addition like the next one on, whatever the CR policies are, that's a substantial addition. And that's a recommendation that should go to council, ideally.
Right.
For me, I don't want to quibble over the words.
Right.
But I find, like, if you look at the issue per se, when you look at the Climate Vulnerability Index, and you look at all of the other studies that have gone, and you look at all the policies that we've written and seen, and the ESAP, which is coming, heat and drought are a significant part of it.
Absolutely.
And if we don't even acknowledge it in this whole thing, what are the guarantees that we're acknowledging it in the exterior cladding that we pick?
Right. I hear all of the perspectives here. So I'm curious, Commissioner, if it would help if when we come forward with council, because I think this will be a similar conversation actually with a couple other items in the matrix. If when we bring this forward to council with a planning commission recommendation, assuming that that's what planning commission does, is that, and as the director who brings this item forward to council for hopeful adoption into the Redmond 2050 plan, that we ensure that we highlight the fact that the issues matrix from the planning commission and the items that are closed out will reflect actual changes in the language of the document, because I think there's multiple changes that we're going to see here from our conversation tonight. I hear you. I agree. I mean, even when we designed the Redmond Senior and Community Center, we did so in a way that acknowledged the fact that extreme heat is an issue. We have used it for cooling shelters during extreme heat situations and will continue to do so. So it absolutely is a capital facilities consideration and requirement as we move forward. I think that what you identified was a gap as we probably edited through the process. And so I think what the best path forward, considering the fact that we have this issue plus multiple more after it, is ensuring that when we come back to council, that we are highlighting the fact that we will be making sure that we are making the changes within the matrix document to it. It is essentially a red line to the document. And if the recommendation from Planning Commission is accepted by City Council, these are the changes that will be made. Would that feel comfortable for you, Commissioner?
Absolutely. I think that works as long as it's
like if we bring that forward, am I wrong? Sorry, Glenn.
I also wanted to add that in the past, having the chair kind of talk about the Planning Commission's recommendation also adds some weight, as opposed to staff kind of repeating, this is what Planning Commission said, when actually a chair or a member of the commission says, here is our report, here's our recommendations, here is what is important. That helps reinforce those kind of things.
Always happy to.
So just want to throw that as a suggestion.
I think that's a great point, Glenn. And so we can absolutely say, you know, this was the Planning Commission's recommendation. These are the issues matrix that we closed out and the recommendations that were made. And then having the chair there to say, confirmed, this is what we are hoping to see moving forward. I think that might be able to help us accomplish everything we're talking about.
And why it's important.
And why it's important, absolutely. And as the director overseeing capital facilities, it is also important to us. And so I would say, this is, for me, absolutely, we should make sure that this is captured.
Sounds good. So as long as, I don't know how this closes just as is, then would that be so?
And let's do what we did for the fire plan. So I like that this one has a page number so that we know exactly where we're making the change. And then we should keep a list of just items that will be added to the recommendation.
Yeah, that's actually what we're trying to do here. So when I'm talking about process, is we're actually trying to compile, because we actually have a consultant working on this, so we actually have to compile this information irregardless to provide to them to make the updates to the plan.
Great. Yeah. That's perfect. So this will be the first item that we're adding to the recommendation specifically.
Yes, please add this to the recommendations and close this. This is number 8.
And also, please note for your draft for the PC report, we'll actually have this all compiled, so that's where we can also confirm kind of the text and how it would look.
Okay, this sounds great. Thank you. All right, number 9. Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, I think number 9, I think it's important. It's critical that we add this, but I would like to add a comment, and I don't know whether it goes in this one or a new comment, so please tell me, Chair, is the... actually, let's make that a new issue. We'll close this as is.
Similar to the one prior where it's part of the recommendation, yes?
Right. This is the
one. And will be added, yes.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Number 10 is related to materials.
So 10, I think, is where I think there could be a little bit of work. In terms of the phrasing itself, I agree with Dr. Martin. The consider is not, study is probably a better word.
Mm.
Consider makes it iffy.
Right.
If it is not required, it's not required, but we have to think of the implications of the infrastructure that we're building, right? Longevity and the durability of what we're building. So I think changing that word
could help.
Could help, and it will also drive the process of the due diligence which goes in before in terms of specs and so on.
Yeah, so this one had quite a bit of conversation among our staff. I think it's really important. I agree. Consider is, it can be a little bit wishy-washy, would be a non-technical term, but I would say, as again, as the director who oversees capital facilities within the city, we don't consider it. We integrate it wherever we are able to do so. The reason we didn't integrate it from a strong, you know, these are the materials you should use is because this is meant to bring us out to 2050. The technology changes, the materiality, it will change. It changes year after year, project to project. But I do agree, I think we can shift that word from consider to something a bit stronger of, you know, that this is the way that we do things based on the best practice at the time.
Yeah, I think we'll keep this open to get the right verbiage, but it should be something like due diligence or conduct. Mm. See, I get that the materials
vary. It changes, yeah.
But it should be that it should be our best practice
to be resilient.
Yeah, and
perhaps can we add that phrase?
The best practice?
That it should be Reven's best practice to be resilient.
No, because best practice doesn't mandate it again.
So
best practice never mandated. Standard practice is mandated.
So I have my facilities manager, I'm going to put Quinn on the spot. I have my facilities manager, Quinn Kuhnhausen, online. Quinn, I know we talked briefly about this earlier today. Do you have an idea around what that language could look like that really captures our commitment to resilient materials that is stronger than consider? Maybe it's commitment. Maybe I just answered the question.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think a commitment to that, because each time we... you know, we look at our projects. To your point, Lorene, it's given with the materials that are available. So, you know, I think the city has done a really good job recently. In any time we're even upgrading a building, we're trying to look at what is the most resilient material equipment that's available. And so I think that works well in what we're trying to do here. It's this, yeah, trying to get that language right and perfect that makes us really more than just consider, but we are committed to looking at what is the best practice around resiliency when we're looking at projects, particularly new projects and major projects. I think it sounds good.
Thanks, Quinn. Yeah, I think that for planning commissions, just for your perspective, is that every time we're looking at a capital project, it is how are we committed to the ESAP? How are we committed to green buildings? How are we committed to clean energy? And so I do think that commitment is really what drives the work that Quinn's team does and the work that our city does. And so perhaps cleaning up that language to be, not that we are considering it, but that we are committed to choosing resilient and sustainable materials as we build to ensure a more resilient future would help capture what the actual goal of this perspective is.
Thank you. I think that would clarify it a lot. Okay. I have one other quibble. I'm really...
Actually, I just wanted one really quickly, I just want to jump in. So it sounds like we actually landed on wording here about evaluating materials with a commitment to choosing materials that are resilient
and sustainable.
And I think the reason that this is important, I know it's a quibble on wording, and I know it's redundant given what your team is already doing, but this document really should last past the current staff.
Absolutely.
And so really kind of solidifying that, or writing down what's working well, I think is really important here.
I would agree with that, and I just want to confirm that for the commission is, you know, I pick on Quinn a little bit. He's retiring from us in the next year or so, and so it is important for me. That's one of the reasons the capital facilities plan is so important to me as a director, is because as we, you know, lose staff to retirement or moving on to new adventures, it's important for us to memorialize the work that we're committed to so that the next person who comes in after Quinn, the next person who comes in after me, is committed to that same goal. And so for us, it's not a quibble. It really is, we want to make sure that we are solidifying the wording so that we are all committed to the same thing into the future. So I think this is a great conversation. A commitment to that is what we want to do. Consider does feel a bit soft. And so I think commitment is a better space for us to be in.
And then with that wording, do you want to leave it open or close?
So if we change the wording, we can close it. But I do want to mention something. When you put lead in for any of the explanations, lead has a whole bunch of points for things that you could do, maybe do, don't do.
Yeah.
So it is not a convincing argument. And you said could. And I personally think that a commitment to the materials or the specs directly without green buildings is a much better way to progress. So performance benchmarking for energy, you know, like talk about the outcomes we want. The lead is not an outcome.
Yeah.
So just wanted to kind of, this has been an ongoing thing for many years. Poor Glenn knows. It's been a conversation for very many years. But anyway, we can close this if we change the verbiage and add it to the recommendations.
Yeah, and I would tell you, I appreciate that conversation because you're right. LEED is only one piece of a conversation around sustainability. I think it's a place where we can start the conversation with, particularly maybe with folks who are not familiar with sustainability and resiliency within our facilities, kind of helping them understand it in the realm of silver, gold, platinum, helps us bring folks along. And so I do agree with you. It does help us shoot for a goal. But at the end of the day, really, the outcomes are what we're shooting for. So I appreciate the conversation, Commissioner, very much.
All right. Just the next issue was just around format, and we'll just note that we communicated that to our consultant, and when they work on a final edit, we'll fix all the format and issues and other ones that we also identified internally. So.
Amazing. Could we add, just for the issues matrix for clarity, this was specifically in the introduction. Then we'll be able to cross-check that we actually... Okay. Does anyone have comments on this? This is assigned to all of us. All right, we can close.
Number 12 was just around how the prioritization process was, specifically around fire stations. So really, this just talks about that the city's major capital investment coming up is the Maintenance and Operations Center. So that is pretty much the city's big project for the next few years. And that's really the driver. That's also one of the highest cost projects in city history. So that's really the driver of why some of these other needs are potentially, they're all in the...
seem to be falling behind.
They're all in the pole position, if we want to use a racing metaphor, but at the same time, you know, it's A1, A2, A3. I don't know, whatever metaphor you want to use. So
it really comes down to we have a particular amount of capital resources. The Maintenance and Operations Center is a very large pull on that capital resource pool. When that is done, the fire stations and the public safety building are next. But because of the size of the Maintenance and Operations Center, that is really taking up the next 4 to 5 years of capital from a facilities perspective. We are working hard with our fire stations and our fire and public safety in general to ensure that they are able to stay operational, comfortable, and safe over the next few years while we get there. But that is the next major capital priority.
And for this one specifically, this was Commissioner Coleman. Did we hear from him to close this?
We have not yet.
Okay, so we'll leave it open just because he isn't here this week.
And can we? I just want to add one additional thing just for context is you just recently had the fire functional plan go through.
Yeah.
That was actually a very key component of actually getting our fire stations prioritized. They hadn't had a plan in place or at least an updated plan for many, many years. And internally, you know, staff, our directors, our leadership really push to get that plan through to actually help move these fire station projects forward. So even though it might seem they're still a few years out, they would have been even further out if we didn't get this fire functional plan through and, of course, this capital facilities plan. So this is all part of the process of getting these, moving in the pipeline for development.
And I appreciate that, Glenn. And I think in addition to that, it's really important to note that they were extremely involved in the capital facilities plan. So where their projects are falling within the grand scheme of the capital facilities plan is not a surprise to fire. We are all on the same page, making sure that we are working towards the goals that are needed for fire and public safety in this community.
Great. Okay, mindful of time, we are going to keep marching forward, especially if the commissioners who these are assigned to aren't here. All right.
13's around finance and really this just notes what the requirements for the plan are, and it's really just high-level funding sources. I believe this was kind of discussed at the previous meeting, too. So,
this is a Vice Chair Whittier one. Are you on the line to close?
I'm satisfied with closing this. I sent my mail to you guys late, but I'm satisfied with the response.
Thank you.
All right, the next issue is number 14, and it's just related to a water facility on the campus that's called Well 4. And just to note that this isn't really part of the plan at all. It's just noted that it's a facility that's within the City Hall campus, and it's a consideration as we go forward trying to redevelop the campus. So,
in this one, I found it confusing enough why it was in that I would actually personally like to see this added to the recommendation with just a very small cross link saying most of water is covered in the water system plan. This one particular project is called out because of the municipal campus. And then people know, I just very strongly think it's important that people understand where the ends of, like, the boundaries of these plans are so there aren't gaps. And this wasn't clear to me as someone who reads a fair number of these plans, but still, but not as staff working on it. So I would recommend adding a clarification.
Would it be helpful to mention that it's mentioned mainly because of its proximity to general government facilities on the municipal campus? That's why it's mentioned, is because it's adjacent to facilities. there are other facilities that we have that are not adjacent to these types of water facilities, which is why they're not mentioned. But because it's adjacent to these general government facilities,
that's what I'm hoping to see, is just a redirect that in general water is covered by the water system plan, okay, which we passed last year. Right. But this particular one is called out because of the municipal campus. Gracious. All right, so we can close. Any further discussion on adding that recommendation? No. Okay. Great. 15.
Number 15 is just related to emergency preparedness. And this really notes that these plans, again, aren't specifically about emergency preparedness. It's really about that when we think about a wider outside of the context of this plan, emergency preparedness, we also have consideration of our facilities. So that's really why we talk about that as like capital facility requirements. It's buildings itself is not emergency preparedness. It's a tool of a concept outside of this plan. So for example, thinking of these as perhaps emergency shelters or things like that. So
this response didn't make me understand anymore, or it didn't help me understand better why this was emphasized as a takeaway, that emergency preparedness was a continuing need. I think the verbiage there was what concerned me, and just the response I saw here didn't help me understand why it was called out.
Could you ask clarifying questions just so we can figure out what would be helpful here?
Yep.
Sure. Why would we bring up emergency preparedness specifically as a continuing need, as a takeaway, if it were just another component?
I think that this goes back to actually the conversation that I had with Commissioner Aparna about heat in particular. As we move into the future, our understandings about emergency needs shift and change, and so we need to take those under consideration. And so when we are approaching any capital project, so for example, the Maintenance and Operations Center is our next major capital need, we look at it from an emergency preparedness. Do we need it to have an emergency operations center in it? Does it need to have generators in it? Does it need to be able to operate as some sort of a warming or cooling shelter? How does it operate if there's an earthquake? And so that is a continued consideration every time we enter into a conversation around facilities. So it's noted as a continued need because that need never really goes away, no matter what facility we are building, rebuilding, or renovating. Is that helpful?
Yes, I think some of that context is missing from the verbiage. And if you could perhaps go in and
clean that up a little bit,
talk about the fact that it's something that will always exist as a need, as opposed to the way it read to me, at least, even though it was very unclear.
There's an end goal.
We found there to be a problem with emergency preparedness is the way I read it.
Understood. And I would to reflect on that, would say that when you have facilities that are as aged as ours, that's probably the case. And yet, emergency preparedness will always be a need that we need to address. And so I think that it sounds to me like maybe there's some language cleanup or addition that we can do in there to help close out this item.
Yeah, I think the language cleanup would allow me to feel good about closing this. We can say ongoing. We can just maybe expound a little bit, but that would be good.
On why,
if I could just ask that we add a page number or a section to this. I wasn't sure which one you...
This was in the presentation that was given in the last meeting.
Okay.
As one of the key takeaways. So it was one of the four.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is it actually a verbiage in the document itself?
There's a section about emergency.
I know we have that. So is that what you're referring to, the document?
No, I was more referring to the presentation that was given in the previous meeting. Okay. And so I was curious if that was calling out a continuing need or a problem with emergency preparedness. It didn't seem clear.
What I might recommend we do is go back to the document and find those particular sections and bring the language to commission to make sure and link it to you guys to make sure that that's sufficient. If it's not, we can clean it up for the recommendation to City Council.
So I'm mindful of our schedule here. What I'm actually thinking is I might turn this, the other direction. So I might have Commissioner Copley go back through the plan, if you don't mind, and maybe like by this weekend, just review the actual, because I totally hear what you're saying about the slides, and then, but in the plan itself, if you think additional edits are needed, then we could, maybe you could send them to the Planning Commission alias, and if not, then we can close. And it's just a point that the slides were confusing.
I'll get those to Odra by tomorrow, close of business.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank
and we can close
so
this up.
Thank you.
Yeah, because it's a really important point, and it's
appreciated.
I want to make sure that like what you're seeing in the plan reflects what you just heard here.
Agreed.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll leave that one open for now, but possibly to close via email or possibly to see in 2 weeks.
16 was a question from Commissioner Coleman.
Okay, so we'll just leave that one right open.
Excuse me?
We'll continue to leave that one open.
Okay, well, I was just going to provide a response. We actually answered this at the previous commission meeting, but we just wanted to confirm that, yes, it was related to the redevelopment of the maintenance and operations centers. And what's a little bit different in this capital facilities plan is that utilities actually was providing money towards the MOC. They actually have usually their own funds for their own infrastructure, but this is kind of a citywide project. So that's why you see the revenue went from about 28% to zero, because typically utilities does not provide funding for the capital facility, government facilities projects. So that's why it goes to zero.
But because the MOC has utilities operations out at it, it qualifies for utilities.
We'll, again, leave that open for Commissioner Coleman to review when he gets back, or close by email if he gets to it that way. And then 17. Thank you for just checking on this. This was one of those, like, it was in the back of my head, and I wanted to make sure that it met your specs, so that can close.
Thank you.
Do any commissioners have new items? Commissioner Aparna.
Sorry to be a pest, but I'm coming back to I liked how Dr. Morton in today's public comment in the public hearing piece mentioned requiring climate vulnerability assessments for major capital projects.
Mm.
So from the resilient conversation, materials is one thing, but the climate vulnerability assessment is a separate thing. So maybe it piggybacks on that same conversation and have another line on intent. But if there's something on that, I would like that addressed. Like, is that something we can address?
Okay.
Because I know that it's probably happening, like you said, anyway, but not every team might be doing it. Maybe if it's not written, it might be
forgotten.
An optional part of a process. So just having this there, especially for the major ones, so it doesn't have to be for every tiny bit, but for the big maintenance center, for instance, right? Like, if that's your backbone, you need to know that it's not going to get flooded or whatever, right?
Yes.
So it's that due diligence. I'm pretty sure it's being done, but still.
Yes, it absolutely is being done, Commissioner. I appreciate that call out, and I think it can be called out in the issues matrix and sent forward as a recommendation from Planning Commission. When we built the Redmond Senior and Community Center, that was a major conversation, that climate vulnerability. It's one of the reasons why, while it can operate as a cooling or warming shelter, it is not actually operated as a true emergency shelter. It's actually because if there were to be a 100-year flood, this whole campus is flooded, but not that building, so you can't get to it. And so we understood that, which drove our decisions on how we built it and what measures we actually put into that facility. So we do that work already. And so similar to the previous conversation, I think we can put that in there as a recommendation from the Planning Commission, that that's something that we do as we build our facilities. It absolutely is something that we currently do. It never hurts to confirm our commitment.
Can I ask an intent question on that? Do you see that as a combined statement of evaluation or scorecarding or whichever with number 11, where we were talking about the materials? I see. So maybe we make a like 10A or something.
Add it to 10.
As a separate item so that it's clear, a sub-item.
Capture it.
Public hearing.
Yes.
And comment. So when we find things that can go on the issue matrix, it's part of that cycle. So.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Other additions? Okay, well, in that case, I think we've done good work on this tonight, and we'll wrap here. And then we will be back in 2 weeks for a final wrap-up.
Yes, we will provide a draft Planning Commission report that will have all the recommendations and proposed text changes, so we can just confirm all that and move into the recommendation, the formal vote for recommendation process.
Wonderful. Okay, thank you for all the work on this.
Thank you very much, commissioners.
All right, and with that, we are on to staff and commissioner updates.
Yes, so next session is October 22nd, and we will continue with the capital facilities plan. We also have a study session on the transportation master plan update, and finally, a briefing on the Economic Development Business Improvement Code package. And just a quick reminder to let us know if anybody's going to be not able to join the session so we can just plan ahead. That's all.
All right. Any commissioner updates? No? Okay. In that case, I look for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right, then we are adjourned.